Hello, everybody, and welcome to another Spiritual Hollywood Hour. I'd like to thank Don Newsom at BBS Radio for this wonderful opportunity and platform to have Spiritual Hollywood. And I also would like to let you know that I'm Kate Romero, your host for Spiritual Hollywood, and we have as our guest for this hour some incredibly wonderful, enlightened people. That would be Vanda Mikulowski and David Zasloff. They are both enlightened comics, and I believe that it would be best said if we would introduce them in this way. They're spiritual, metaphysical, transformational, enlightened, conscious, cosmic, quantum, hilarious, spiritually incorrect comedy that inspires and heals. And if you want to go ahead and go to Vanda's website, she is at www.vanda, V as in Victor, A-N-D-A, .us. They were doing a little bit of transferring the server, so hopefully that'll come up for you. And then if you want to go to David Zasloff's site, you go to www.davidzasloff, that's D-A-V-I-D, Z as in zebra, A-S as in Sam, L-O-F-F.com, davidzasloff.com. And just to introduce you a little bit to Vanda, she says that her comedy is about having fun and laughing at herself and in that oh-so-elusive pursuit of enlightenment or happiness. And secondly, it's about revealing the absurdities and foibles that arise as we pursue everything from the most ancient spiritual practices to the latest and greatest in groups, courses, techniques, books, and movies on our road to the answer. Her intention is that while doing this, people are inspired and gain insights that make a difference for them in their lives. Very, very well said. And Bill Maher says about Vanda, she's terribly smart and funny, and funny and smart in both of those. And that's absolutely true. And Mr. Zasloff is a jazz comedian, and he plays some Zen jazz, and he practices Zen Judaism and the joy of suffering. Jazz comedian David Zasloff has been called one of the great performers of our time, and he's a comedian, musician, poet, philosopher whose talents are endless. David has written two books. One is called Zen Judaism, The Joy of Suffering, and the other is entitled The Complete Book of Everything, Part One, which is a collection of his comic monologues. And with his band, David plays Zen Jazz, which is a combination of African, Japanese, Jewish, Latin, Caribbean bebop. And he's fantastic. He's considered to be a master of the Japanese shakuhachi flute. I hope I didn't destroy that, but I'm sure David will correct me when he gets on here. And a multi-instrumentalist, plays trumpet, piano, percussion, guitar, auto harp, and shofar. He is an accomplished songwriter, film composer, and has produced 4 CDs as well as been the musical director for 14 HBO Comedy Channel shows and 1 Showtime special. His music has also been heard on the TV show The Young and the Restless. Most recently, David played shakuhachi, there I go again, flute, on the multi-million-selling Linkin Park CD, Meteora. He's also been a ski instructor, wilderness guide, whitewater river guide, stained glass artist, actor, playwright, and record label owner. So without further ado, let me bring on Vanda and David. Welcome, you two. Thank you for making the time.
Hello.
Thank you. You're welcome. So, now this is something that's going to be a very interesting show because oftentimes when we hear stand up and we see stand up, it's a very different kind of stand up than what the two of you offer. And I saw both of you do a show and I was just absolutely bowled over. I think you should both be on Oprah and Larry King and every talk show out there to help everyone enlighten up and turn their ha-has into ah-has. So why don't you tell us, whoever wants to go first, Vanda or David, what actually got you started with the spiritually incorrectness?
Well, I don't know. Vanda, you want to go first?
Sure. Okay, so my brother was in the movie What the Bleep Do We Know. Remember that little film?
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, and when that hit so big, we had the idea. I had no intention to get back into stand-up comedy. I was 45 years old. And then he said, what if you could do exactly what you wanted to do, talk about exactly what you want to talk about for the audiences for whom it's relevant? And I said, do you think that's possible? He said, yes, look at the reception, what the bleep got, and now The Secret. And I said, well, yeah, well, I might as well take a shot at that because, you know, my boyfriend Eckhart Tolle says he's got he's my boyfriend, he is. You have a little hyphen between the year of your birth and the year of your death, and that's all you got this time around, as far as we know, is that little hyphen. And I thought, I want a kick butt hyphen, you know.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm going to, so I just packed up my car with one carload full of possessions and moved to Los Angeles and started writing my show, and I've been doing it for 3 years now, and I had the good fortune to run into a musical director at a Church of Religious Science who said, you got to meet David Zaslav because he's doing comedy in churches too. I'm like, really?
Mm.
Wow, because, you know, very few people were, I think David and I are really the only two who are doing stand-up, like, you know, people with chops as stand-up comics,
yeah,
were then taking it to that, you know, the other subject matter that's not relevant in mainstream nightclubs.
Mm-hmm.
So David and I started just hanging out, and he's been really big brotherly toward me as I moved to L.A. and stuff. It's been great.
Yeah, and the two of you together are just a force to be reckoned with.
Yeah.
I haven't seen David's musical skills yet, but boy, I've seen his stand-up comedy, and it's just like it just won't sit down. I love it.
So,
David, did you have something you wanted to add to that?
Yeah, sure. About Sherry, I was invited to play some music at a Religious Science, Church of Religious Science, and I started out playing music, but I noticed that if I introed my songs, people would laugh. There was nobody doing comedy in the circuit. It was never in my mind to do comedy in the circuit. I didn't consider that a possibility. I was asked to play music. I came out and played music, but every time I talked, people laughed. And for about a year, I would say one line or two, and it eventually evolved into I got invited to go to a Silmar. I just got back from a Silmar, which is the week-long, you could call it, gathering of Church of Religious Science, and
mm-hmm.
I was given an hour cabaret 2 years ago, and I somehow just became the comedian of this group.
Hmm.
And they started asking me to come around and not just play music, but also be funny, which to me was amazing.
Yeah, it's a wonderful combination. I've never seen anything like it. And the two of you, Vanda and you, together in the same headliner, it just was, I mean, my face hurt for days after I saw that show. It was
funny.
Oh, don't be sorry. It was good. It felt good. It was good pain. And so you have some CDs that you've done. One is called David Zaslav. One is called, and that's Born to Be Happy. And one called I Feel Good. And then Meditations of the Harp. Honey, Take Me Home is another one. And then Courage and Wisdom, the Serenity Prayer unreleased music. So,
and I also have a DVD of that was filmed at the Atlanta. There's this cool thing called the Circle of Love. It's the Eastern gathering of the Church of Religious Science, and it's the convention for the East Coast. And I was there last year, and someone filmed me, and I made a DVD of my comedy act, and it was just a great audience.
Wonderful.
Yeah, I was very lucky.
Wonderful. You've got some stuff on YouTube right now where people can see you as well, right?
About
and they can find that on your website.
Yeah, 8 or 9 videos on YouTube.
That's fantastic. So what kind of feedback do you get on those?
There's over 15,000 people have watched some of those things. I get great comments. I just put up the Lord's Prayer. I wrote some new music for the Lord's Prayer, and, you know, whenever you do something like that, that kind of opens you up to all the, atheists and hard-nosed people, and
mm-hmm.
and you get some really weird responses to anything of that kind of spirituality. So,
mm-hmm.
you know,
well, look what happened to Jesus for voicing his opinion.
Yep.
Yeah. So you know, it's like that, but it's worth it. It's worth it. Transformations.
Oh, yes.
You know, it takes a village. It takes the world.
You know, some people get it, some people don't.
Exactly, and it's, you know, it's not for everybody, but the ones that it is for. They know it the minute that they hear it. And are you appearing anywhere in the near future, David, where people can come and see you?
My next gig is at Unity Church in Ventura on the 12th, I think.
Mm-hmm. Is that on your website?
August. It will be on my website.
Terrific. And that website, again, is davidzasloff.com. That's Zasloff.com, davidzasloff.com. So I would recommend that you pull that up, as well as Vanda's site. Vanda, is your site working right now?
I don't know.
Let me check.
One of those things. Yeah, the server has been
something in retrograde.
Been a little squirrely, a little pesky.
Oh, it says the bandwidth limit is exceeded.
Oh man, it's still not up. Yeah, it's I don't know. My super user network was not behaving, so I just got a new server, but I think it takes a couple of days.
But pretty soon people will be able to sign on and see you. I did send out an email to about a billion people today with your websites on it, so that should do some good. And I did announce you're coming on the show on KZSB, the Santa Barbara 1290 AM station, with Kat Shannon, who's a fantastic host, who interviewed me, and I told him that you two would be on, so we're going to have a lot of Santa Barbara listeners today.
I'll be in Santa Barbara September 9th.
Awesome. Where?
At the, Center of the Heart.
Uh-huh.
Turnpike Road, Center of the Heart, I think it's around 9 o'clock in the morning.
That's wonderful.
Yeah.
That's a good way to wake people up.
So I'm going to be the prophet, and he's the Messiah, because I'm going to be in Santa Barbara August 8th.
Awesome.
Yeah,
it's a great place, yeah.
What's that?
It's a great place.
Hey, Vanda, where are you playing in August in Santa Barbara?
The Santa Barbara Library, the Faulkner Gallery.
Oh, cool.
Yeah, and that's presented by Hope Dance Films, which is sort of an activist community there. Bob Banner in his Hope Dance magazine, and a bunch of activists. So I'll be leaning a little bit in the activist direction, spiritual slash activist slash, you know.
Oh, you can handle
money.
Anything, I'm sure.
Yeah.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
So I'm just going to give a little promotion about what you've got coming up, Vanda. I sent your flyer out to a gazillion people today as well. And you've got a gig coming up at Jennifer's Coffee Connection, for all you Los Angeles folks listening, at 4397-D Tujunga Avenue. And that, for people who know where the Aroma Cafe is on Tujunga, which is my favorite stomping grounds, it's just right across the way there off of Moore Park. And it's in Studio City, 91604. Their phone number is 818-769-3622. And that will be Friday, August 17th from 8:30 to 10:30 p.m., $5 at the door, and you will be there with also a comic, Maria Barnford.
Bamford. Maria Bamford. She's so funny. She's the cutest little thing.
B-A-M-F-O-R-D. Okay, I couldn't read.
Right.
Okay, Bamford. Yeah, she looks very cute. And you also have Jerry Katzman coming in to do a little bit of stand-up as well.
He's hysterical. I love this guy. Every time he calls me, I jump on my bed and put my legs up on the wall like I'm 12. I giggle.
Oh, that's sweet. I hope you have the respect on everybody. That's great. And so you have some special appearances by Shashi Bhatia.
And her name is actually Shashi Bhatia.
Well, you know what? Just correct me anytime I slaughter a word, because I don't know today. I don't know. It's one of those kind of days. But Rick Overton was actually a guest at my wedding when I got married under the full moon on a mountaintop. He was just happened to be there that night, Rick Overton. And back when I was an actress about a million years ago, he was in my class. So I know Rick very well.
Uh-huh.
Rick's amazing.
Mountaintop?
Oh, go ahead. Sorry. Well, Rick is amazing. He also really encouraged me to get into doing this kind of comedy. He actually said, I said, I'm 45, Rick. I don't want to be in clubs. And he said, Vanda, you're an elder. It's time to give back. And, I mean, it was a little bit of an insult, but at the same time, it was like, yeah, you know what? You're right. It's time to give back.
Wow.
You know?
Wow.
Yeah.
That was very insightful of Rick.
Yeah.
Fantastic.
You know, I never knew there was any other type of comedy other than what I do. The fact that people call it spiritual is a miracle to me, but it just seemed like it was intelligent. I could never really tolerate the comedy I heard on the circuit, so.
Yeah, it's very intelligent. It's got, I believe the best way to reach people is through humor.
Yeah.
And honestly, and when, you know, to discover the two of you, it's like I got to discover the wheel. You know, it's just like, wow, this is fantastic. And you know, we're all unique in a way, in a similar way, because I think I'm the only progressive talent manager with a focus on consciousness on the planet who's outside of the consciousness closet, out loud and proud. And I know I'm not going to be the last one, but I certainly believe I am the first one. And I'm just loving just finding all the synergistic energy out there. And, you know, the fact that the two of you are out there, you know, doing your spiritually incorrect stand-up is like, it just, oh, man, I want the whole world to see it, however they can.
Well, it's interesting. I never knew that you could, I always knew that you could crack jokes about meditation and stuff like that, but you could never crack jokes about meditation in a regular comedy audience because everybody's drinking beer and smoking. Meditation is not something that they really consider for some reason. Maybe it's not the age group or whatever, but these groups, the Science of Mind groups and Unity and religious science, and meditation is very important to them.
Mm-hmm.
And it's you know, all the great people who ever lived on this planet meditated.
Oh, yes.
Yes.
Absolutely. And all those groups that you just mentioned are very open-minded as well. Yeah, and that's really refreshing. So
they're really interested in change also. They want to make dramatic changes in the way the planet functions. And,
absolutely. And it's all about transformation, all of it. And like I said, you know, the best way to reach people is through humor. And you know, when I get my network up and running, which will be Authentic TV, All Good News All the Time, it will be loaded with this kind of thing that the two of you do. And I'm also looking at, it will be, to begin with, a cable show, but we're calling it Universe City. And I would love the both of you to come on and be my guest for that show when we get it up and running. It's a television show for local Los Angeles cable access. So anything else I have in the wings coming up besides Spiritual Hollywood Radio Show, because, you know, there just aren't any limits when you're in this media. To use it for the greater good and to use it to raise consciousness, I think, is the best use of this tool.
Yep.
So, David, do you have like about 5 minutes of something that you feel itch to share with our listeners?
Well, I think one of the biggest part of my, well, you know, one, I'm really opposed to sugar and I'm opposed to all drugs.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, one of the jokes that's been working for a long time is I say I quit drinking, I quit alcohol, I quit marijuana, I quit cocaine, I quit freebase, I quit caffeine, no coffee, no tea, no carbonated beverages, and I felt great.
Mm-hmm.
But I had nobody to talk to.
Right.
They say sugar is just as addictive as heroin, which means NutraSweet is methadone.
Yep.
Now, that's true.
It is.
I mean, that's just true. Sugar is just as addictive as heroin, and it's a deadly thing, and it's in every food in the grocery store. You can't get away from processed sugar, and it will kill you.
Yeah, and it is addictive.
You know,
totally. A lot of people don't even know that they don't know they're hooked on it.
I know. You see the little kids in the supermarket just like jonesing, right? Mommy, 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 get me that, get me that, get me that. It's like, ouch, little drug addicts, you know?
Yeah, totally.
Ooh. I mean, parents have to deal with what they have to deal with, but I have compassion for them, but really, I mean, we're so unconscious about that stuff. And anyway, I'm interrupting David, but the thing I noticed
about sugar was that if I had a negative thought, if I ate sugar, then the negative thought would get even bigger.
Good point.
And by the time I finished whatever sugar, you know, cookie I was eating, I was hating I was creating an illusion of hate.
Mm-hmm.
That was so vast it would keep me from behaving, you know, doing something good.
Yeah.
Sugar is not
well, I just ate some sugar and I still love you guys.
You're one in a billion, Amanda.
That's fantastic. Well, you know, and what you're saying, David, about sugar and its addictive qualities and how it kind of like summons the dark side of you,
yeah.
That is true for a lot of people. And a lot of times alcohol has that same effect on people because it's largely made out of sugar.
Yeah, alcoholism has got a lot to do with sugar, but mostly alcoholism has got a lot to do with negative thinking. Alcohol is a great way for people to erase their negative thinking. Just
mm-hmm.
think negatively, have a shot of alcohol, or cocaine, or
yep.
whatever drug you choose, and all of a sudden that negative thought is no longer there, but it's still there.
Yeah.
You just think it's not there, but it's still there. In fact, it's worse.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And it never
yeah.
goes away. The only way out yeah. of it is through it.
Yeah, that's another thing David and I had in common, is that we both are more interested in checking in rather than checking out most of the time. I mean, there's ways I check out still. But that's what the genesis of this comedy is about, you know. It's just like checking in, and and dealing with some of those uncomfortable feelings and the voices in your head that are just like insistent, you know?
Yeah.
And being with, I mean, it's not a light and woo-woo spiritual la-la stuff that we do. It really is about the reality of being a human being. And I won't speak for David, but for me, it's grappling with my humanity as well as my divinity, you know?
Yes, because we are spiritual beings on a human journey.
Well, where else could you get a laugh except on this circuit with a line like, my brain has a mind of its own?
Yeah, and it does.
I never heard that. That's good.
And some of the stuff that both of you come up with, I mean, it's just so right there, trippingly off of your tongue, and it's the timing is just razor sharp, and it's like, for me, I'm going to just say for me what it was like to experience your show, both of you on the same night, on the same stage, separately, of course, but getting to enjoy the treat of having both of your energies in the same evening, for me was like spirit was in the house. I mean, I was just looking at pure source being channeled through each one of you in your individual ways of doing it. It's like your yin and yang. You got the feminine energy and you got the masculine energy, and you're both coming at us from a point of view that's so real and so grounded in reality that an everyday living and coping and grappling with, you know, how to grow and how to evolve in a world that keeps throwing this negativity at you through media or whatever it is, or these negative voices in our head, whatever it is, and trying to, you know, swim through that quicksand to the other side and pull yourself out safely and hopefully as a more evolved person when you do get through that. But you know, you both have very, very craftily, if that's a word, taken the challenges life has given you, which I believe we chose before we were born. I believe that we totally chose every single person we're going to meet, every single thing that was going to happen, all of it, which makes me feel that's the best way I can be responsible for my reality and what's going on in my own life. Is I don't look out there and go, well, it's that person's fault or that thing's fault. No, I did this myself. I created all of it. I co-created all of it. But I am responsible for it. I'm the director. I'm the star. I'm the casting director. I'm everything in my life. And what you two have done with your stand-up is you've taken the challenges life has thrown at you and absolutely unabashedly and fearlessly share that and contribute so generously from your heart of hearts that you just can't look away from either of you. And it's so absolutely truthful, and it's in, you know, all this truth you're talking about lives in our DNA, but we forgot it's there because we got this spiritual amnesia when we came to this. And you know, you guys bring that to life and you ignite the consciousness in the people who are watching. And the night I was there to see you both, I don't know who these wonderful ladies were, but they reeked of alcohol so strongly that I got a contact high off of both of them. They were laughing so. Oh my gosh, they were so funny. But
hey, I once played a room full of motorcycle cops, and I have never seen people that drunk in my life.
Oh right, yes, I know. Isn't that ironic?
I could not believe it. And then the next night, I did a gig for. In a motorcycle bar, so it was motorcycle outlaws, and they were just as drunk. and I cracked the same jokes.
Oh my God! Did they love it?
Yeah.
That's great.
Enormously
did you do any politically incorrect humor about police officers?
Say it again.
Did you do any humor about police officers, law enforcement?
No, it was all excuse the word, sex jokes.
Ah.
You know that
okay.
Covers everybody.
So it was stag.
But it was pretty stag.
Yeah. Wow. What a trip. What an image. And it's true.
Yeah, it
I mean, I've
really
heard that
well.
For years and years that they're some of the hardest drinkers that there are.
You know, I didn't know
there,
that.
You know, pulling people over for DUIs.
I don't normally hang out with the police officers, and I didn't know that. I very rarely get stopped. Maybe I will now.
Well, hopefully just to give you a compliment.
I hope so.
Yeah. So, Vanda, you have in your act, if you don't mind sharing with our listeners, there's something that was particularly hilarious for me. I mean, all of it was, but this stood out for me. It was when you got a DUI.
Oh, yeah. Oh, I hope the ladies in the front row like that. I got more than a DUI. I got two DUIs back-to-back, and like me and Lindsay Lohan, right?
Yeah.
But it was a wake-up call, you know, and because when you're in denial about it, you use anything to find agreement that you're okay, right? So,
yeah.
But When the judge said, you know, that he would revoke my license for 2 years, I was like, whoa, can't you just put a light and sirens on the top of my car when I'm drunk? Out of my way, I'm drunk, you know? And but it woke me up to have to, I lived outside a small town in Washington State, in Yelm, Washington.
Uh-huh.
And I had to ride my bicycle into town 11 miles, run errands, and ride back out, right? And my friends are going by, I'm 40 years old, right? And my friends are going by going, go girl, you're so athletic. Oh my God, look at Vanda, she's so together. She's so athletic at age 40. I'm like, Vanda's a loser. I got two DUIs. Oh man, my life is falling apart, you know. But like you were saying, you know, the travails of our lives, the addictions and the things that bring you to your knees, your alcohol has been my most true spiritual teacher. There hasn't been any other human one that is that true, that much integrity, where it just brings you to your knees,
right,
definitively.
Yes.
You know, and you have to do, you have no choice but to look at, wake up.
Yes.
You know, you just, or die. You know, you could die. So,
a choice.
So that was what was great about that. And it really is a choice between checking out or checking in, because that's really, like you said, the only way out is through.
Mm-hmm.
So it's like, what is it? Why am I anesthetizing myself?
Yes.
People who develop the personality trait of being funny are largely, I think, it can largely be in reaction to something, some deep pain or something like that. You know, everyone knows that. It's like cliche now. But so it's getting underneath that. Like, I got really interested in, what am I anesthetizing? Let me look at that, you know? So I did. I did a lot of workshops, a lot of transformational workshops. I learned that I learned that I'm a jerk. I'm just really clear about it now, you know. There's a lot of good stuff in recovering from something that kicked your butt like that, you know.
But that's why it does. I believe David and Vanda, both of you are very clear in your stand-up that every single thing that happens in our lives is here to get us conscious. And you've taken it and turned it into a vocation that absolutely leaves people feeling enlightened up. Really, no kidding. It's like I floated out of there after your show. I mean, I felt so fantastic because, you know, Norman Cousins proved to us that laughter heals, you know, when he healed himself from cancer just by having people only tell him jokes and only watch funny movies and only do anything that had to do with laughter, and he healed himself from cancer when he was terminal. So, you know, you guys are doing a wonderful service out there for the world, and I do want to see both of you on national network doing what you do, this stand-up spiritually incorrect stuff, because it is spiritually correct.
Well, I think hypocrisy can make you sick, and then it can make you laugh.
What's that?
Hypocrisy can make you sick.
Yeah.
And then if I really look at my own hypocrisy and my own pain, it's eventually going to make me laugh if I'm really honest about it.
Yeah, and when you get to the point where you can laugh about it, there's your healing.
And that's when everybody laughs.
Yes.
Everybody's, you know, everything that I think, somebody else in Russia is thinking the exact same damn thing.
Uh-huh.
You know, we're all connected.
In a different language.
That collective consciousness. It's not even unconscious.
Uh-huh.
Is a collective consciousness that everybody's hooked into.
Yep.
And these thoughts are not mine. The thoughts that I think, some of the thoughts that I think are mine. And those are the worst ones. The ones I've inherited, all that negativity.
Mm-hmm.
But my higher thoughts are thoughts that I don't think. They just kind of plop into my brain without any effort. And those are the thoughts that I think everybody's thinking. And when you
It's a very good point. And you know that science is just starting to see that a virus actually has collective consciousness. And they're thinking, well, if a virus has collective consciousness where it just spreads everywhere because it's a collective consciousness, then maybe humans have collective consciousness, you think?
Of course we do. It's not even a question, and I don't need any scientific proof.
Yep.
You know,
you can see it every day.
Science is always way behind mystics. Mystics come first.
Yeah.
Science always comes later.
Mm-hmm.
I see no need to prove evolution. Evolution just exists. It is.
Yep. And I believe that we're born to master what our parents never did, which is, I feel, the most basic primitive form of evolution is to evolve beyond our ancestors. And, you know, and if we all stop for a minute and look, we'll see that to a large degree, we all have done that already. And for people who feel like they don't matter, their voice doesn't matter, they can't make a difference because of a worthiness issue that they might have, they just stop and give themselves some credit and see that, my gosh, you know, they've come a very, very long way, and that wasn't by accident. They had something to do with that. Then they could start being at least on the road to starting to feel better about themselves and bring up their self-esteem. But I recommend that everybody come and see the two of you do your stand-up, because you really hit the nail on the head with every single challenge a person could possibly have. For some reason, in your channeling, your stand-up, you know what the room needs. You know what the crowd needs to hear. You seem to pick up on it cosmically. Who in the room needs this phrase? Who in the room needs that phrase? And it seems like you both think so well on your feet that you're just incredibly flexible. And I was looking around at the audience, and I always love to do that as a manager whenever I go see a show. I look around at the audience, and I see the audience response to who's on stage. And what I noted when you both were on stage, your individual times, that there were particular people who resonated and responded in huge ways. One man was laughing so hard that he used two handkerchiefs. He cried so much.
Uh-huh.
And oh, my God.
You turned that guy wrong side out or inside out or right side in or something. But
he's been through a lot of pain.
Yeah, he let go of a lot that night. And, you know, and I kept picking up what key phrases were causing him to have that reaction. And I really picked up on, as an intuitive empath, what was going on with him. And I was so thrilled that he found himself there in that room, because yeah, he definitely got a great healing that evening just by laughing.
Well, there's nothing better than, you know, I wake up in the morning and I do a laughing exercise. It's not even an exercise. It's a way for me to start my day. Laughter is the best way to start the day.
How do you do that?
Yeah, I just put a smile on my face. It's really simple.
Well,
you know, my brain feels my face go into a smile, and it immediately changes the orientation of my brain, just physically and metaphysically. All of a sudden, I'm happy. You can't be happy if you stick a smile on your face. I mean, you can't be unhappy.
Yeah.
If you stick a smile on your face, if you wake up and think negative thoughts, and then all of a sudden you put a smile on your face, your brain is going to feel that, and it's going to change its thinking. It's really simple.
Yeah, we could call that a YOU turn, couldn't we?
YOU turn. I like it. I work the same way David does. I wake up in the morning, and if I notice the frenetic, angst-ridden stuff, that's really normal. It's a normal part. I mean, I'm a yoga teacher too. I know. I mean, that's what we deal with all the time. Is finding, slipping in between those thoughts into the ground of nothingness, the ground of being, out of which they all arise. And I've had great coaches, like the power that you see on stage is not really me. It's me getting out of my way.
Got it.
You know what I mean?
Yes.
When I can have an intention,
mm-hmm,
and I take the coaching of great people,
mm-hmm,
to have me serve the intention. So my intention is that everyone leaves with insights that make a difference to them, and of course laughing. I mean, it has to be funny. That's like a given.
Mm-hmm.
But so everything's inside the intention, and because it's not really me, you know. And David would probably say it's not, like he did say, it's not really him.
Right.
It's like us getting out of our way so funny can happen.
Yes.
You know.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Absolutely. And I think I mentioned to you that I do something. Co-creator of quantum hypnotherapy, and I can't take credit for what goes on in the room with a two-hour session with a client, because it's completely used by Source. Source is channeling through me. I get out of my own way so that I can facilitate a healing for that client. And it's phenomenal when you're able to get out of your own way in that way. And, you know, life has given me quite a few challenges, as well as all of us in Earth School. That's why we're here. It's what you do with it that really creates your reality. Not, you know, life is going to keep coming at you 1,000 miles an hour like it always has. But what can shift and change is your consciousness and your perception about it. And when that shifts and changes, you can change your future generations. I mean, absolutely, in a heartbeat.
Well,
and, you know, for you guys to be such a wonderful example to what can be done with the challenges that you've been given, and how you can transmute that into something that's got such healing power in it, is just, I mean, I grapple with words to define it, how wonderful it is.
Yeah, well, I don't have anything better to do.
Yeah. Yeah, doing that. You just keep on being bored. And
I have a saying. It goes, to be who I am, I have to forget who I think I am.
Ah.
And yet, there's another way to say that. It's to, when I'm self-conscious, I forget myself.
Hmm. That's good.
You know, I just have to, I can't allow myself to think I know who I am.
Mm-hmm.
As soon as I do that, I can't be who I am.
Well, I just went to a full moon ceremony night before last at the Franklin Canyon, which is right off of Coldwater in Studio City. It's just a little paradise out there with duck ponds and trees. You'd swear that you were at Kings Canyon, Sequoia National Park. And they did a full moon circle with about 30 people in a bonfire. And we all wrote down on a card what we were giving up and threw it into the fire. And then each person just defined who they are, the new person that they are, and what they're taking on for the full moon. What they gave something away, and then to fill that void with something positive, each person said, you know, what they are. And that was so amazingly healing and insightful. And the thing that came to me to define who I am is that I am pure God expression. And if I want anything, that's what I want more of.
Mm.
Is that, as you know, as corny as that might sound, it's not real funny or anything, but it is the way I feel. And it just sums it up so beautifully. It's like full God expression. That's it.
Well, that's a key saying in the Church of Religious Science and Science and Mind.
What's that?
That's a key saying in the Church of Religious Science, that we are all expressions of God. You hear that phrase a lot. And it's just the truth. That's really, you know, when you think about it, it's basic Judaism. Judaism said the same thing a long, 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 long time ago, and a lot of religions have borrowed that concept from Judaism.
Mm-hmm.
We are children.
I'm sorry, did I interrupt?
No, I don't think so.
Katie, I love that possibility. I love that, because you know what? You're tough, because that's, when you say something like that big,
mm-hmm.
then you know that you're up for, like, amazing stuff, right? Like, whatever's in the way of that.
Mm-hmm.
If you declare something that powerful, that's, like, good on you. You know, I'll be your friend if you run into some snags.
I didn't hear what you said on that.
Full God expression. I just want more God. That's it.
Oh.
People ask me, what do I want in my life? I just want to be more full God expression. That's what I want.
Right.
And you know I'm already that, but that's what I want all the time, as much as I can possibly be that.
Well,
I'm writing a book right now that's just coming out of me so fast that I can barely keep up. My fingers don't type fast enough to get it out, but it's called Huckleberry Memoirs, An Extraordinary Journey, and it's filled with stories of some of the most incredibly challenging things that could happen to a child and what I did with them as an adult. And I just had a few people review a few chapters, and we're launching the website for it tomorrow, which will have three sample chapters on there, which it's all designed to inspire and to show people they can prevail over anything, as long as they have a consciousness shift and change their perspective of what's been going on. And to realize, too, that we did choose, before we were born, this life that we have, and the people we would meet along the way, and the challenges that would hone us. And I have a phrase that I used in one of my chapters that I'll share with the two of you. I don't know if you'll think it's funny or not, but I was so confronted by growing up that if you would have put a piece of charcoal between my butt cheeks, it would have been a diamond in 60 seconds. That's
a wonderful image.
Yeah, that's how confronted I was when I started this journey of realizing, R-E-A-L-E-Y-E-S-I-N-G, realizing who I am and why I'm here. And removing the spiritual amnesia of remembering sitting around that table with the elders pre-birth, with the family I was born to, all agreeing that they would let their hearts go blind so they could be who I needed them to be to teach me the gift of forgiveness in my life. And I totally remember that. And that's what this book, Huckleberry Memoirs, is about. And you know, there's all kinds of wonderful things out there that people can get their hands on to read and workshops to do. And David, can you recommend any for people who are, you know, have walked the path of you know, grappling with addiction and overcoming addiction and trying to find a new way to be and a way that they can feel comfortable in their own skin? Do you have any advice for them?
Are you talking about a book?
Which books?
I think you said I should suggest a book.
Yeah, if you can, or a workshop, or a person, or a school of thought, or.
Well, yeah, there's a great book, God is a Verb. It's a brilliant book.
Wow, I've never heard of that one.
It's the Jewish Power of Now.
Oh, that's funny.
Brilliant book. And the other great book is by Bradshaw's book, Healing the Shame That Binds You.
Oh yes, John.
A lot of people don't even know they're ashamed of themselves. And I wish they would know, because it would make my life a lot easier.
Can you? What if you were to put that information on your website? Books that you recommend.
That's not a bad idea.
That's not a bad idea at all.
That way you would be contributing big time, and it would make your life easier, because people would, you know, if they like your stand-up and they like who you are as a person, and you've definitely just a...
Yeah, I've been really focused on selling my product on
person,
my website.
Huh?
I've been very focused on selling product on my website, which really hasn't worked at all.
Well, you know,
maybe I could have a page of books, and people would buy other people's books, not mine.
You know, and also too, I think there's a way that you can contact the publishers and tell them that you want to do that, and they would actually give you a percentage of whatever you sell. I know that they do that.
Hey, I like the way you think.
Yeah, it's true. I'm a man.
I'll probably make more money off somebody else's book than my own.
Yeah, and then write your own book, too. I'm sure that you've got a few in you that you could write. And.
Oh, I'm working on it right now.
Awesome. Fabulous.
Yeah.
What about you, Vanda?
Well, the thing that's made the biggest difference for me is a little course called Landmark Education. The course is called the Landmark Forum.
Uh-huh.
And it's a 3.5-day transformational seminar that just rocked my world when I took it 6 years ago. And just gives people access to what's where they're losing power or freedom or full self-expression. Amazingly efficient, 3.5 days, and that's it. That's been the major thing. I mean, I've had a lot of spiritual teachers too, like Byron Katie. I love her.
Uh-huh.
She's, you know, some people resonate with some things, right? Like I resonate with Eckhart Tolle and Byron Katie and Deepak Chopra, Wayne Dyer. Those guys are amazing to me.
And they're all your boyfriend, right?
Well, yeah, Byron's a woman, so she's my girlfriend, but yeah.
Byron always confuses me because it sounds like a man's name.
I haven't
read her book yet, but she's on my list, most definitely.
Yeah, she comes, the first step in her work is called, I love this, it's called Judge Your Neighbor Worksheet.
Huh.
And why I love it is because a lot of spiritual people, they tend to go, I don't judge anymore because
uh-huh.
I'm spiritual. When the truth is, you're human, you judge. The sky is blue, my wife is fat, you know, or whatever. You judge, you just do. And to resist that is not, you know, or avoid it or try to suppress it is not a key to enlightenment, but to rather use every one of those things as a way to access where you are that way. Whatever you judge, you know, your own...
That's a good point, Vanda, because what you resist persists.
Yep.
And it expands when you focus.
There's nothing out there, according to quantum physics. There's nothing really out there.
Right.
You know,
it's all an illusion.
It's all your perception. So.
Exactly. And nothing has meaning unless you give it meaning.
Yeah, exactly.
I'm looking at a bunch of trees. Don't tell me those trees aren't there, please.
Go hit one.
I'm
Go
sitting in my backyard. Yes. Don't tell me these trees aren't here.
It's not that they're not there. There's nothing there independent of your perception of it. So the observer impacts what's
uh-huh.
seen.
Yeah, it's not what you think about.
If you had no tree database in your head, you may not see them. You know what I mean?
Yes. And how do you both feel about this now? I want to throw something out there at you. I think I threw it too far. I forgot what it was.
So we're talking about
deep.
Perception.
Katie, that's very deep. Be careful.
What's that?
That's very deep, whatever you're thinking.
I know. Let me get to
Here
it.
Here we go.
We're talking about perception, meaning. There's no out there independent of your perception of it.
If a tree falls in the forest and there's no one around to hear it, does it make a sound?
Yes.
How do you know?
Good question.
It had to make a sound.
Here's my analogy. If we need somebody to witness something before it actually has a reality.
Yep.
You see? So if there's no one around to see the tree fall in the forest or to hear it, then it doesn't make a sound.
I don't believe that. I think it makes a sound no matter what.
You do?
Yeah.
Hmm.
Yeah, I think it makes a sound.
I think
I can hear it from here.
Yeah, no, I think that it's all set up for the observer. The observer.
Yes.
That's that great experiment, Schrodinger's cat, right, where they put a cat in a box with Oh God, I'm going to do a miserable job. I just realized I have no idea what I'm talking about.
That's
listen
okay.
To me, Ms.
That's
quantum
welcome
physics.
To the club.
But it's yeah, right. But it is about that. It's like, how can you know the observer is pivotal in any given situation? So I would say no, they don't make a noise. Thank you.
Well, listen, if the tree fell, if you've experienced a tree falling, and I've experienced many trees falling, and I know it makes a sound when it falls, then why shouldn't it make a sound when I'm not there?
Because there's no one there to observe it.
I think it makes
because the sound waves, David, have to impact something that's there. And if there's nothing there, then it has nowhere for the sound waves to impact,
well,
and therefore will not make a sound because the sound waves don't have anything to bounce off of. How's that? Was that good?
Yes, except it eliminates the possibility of imagination. Now, I believe what you're saying is true if you're dealing with the reality of the eardrum.
Uh-huh.
But if you take away the eardrum and imply imagination, then it's there.
Well, speaking
that's
of
another level of consciousness.
Yes. Do you know what true wealth really is?
Say that again.
Do you know what true wealth really is?
True wealth?
True wealth.
Well, tell me.
It's being able to afford your own imagination.
Being able to
afford your own imagination.
Well, I like that.
Yeah, that's wealth.
That works.
And all of us can. So we are all wealthy.
That works well.
Yeah. So
and I can't. It's hard to hear you because I hear all these trees falling right now.
Well,
my God, there goes another one.
What's that?
No, I'm just joking.
Okay. So you know, it's a very good question, and I've heard that question my whole life, and I never really understood it very well until I watched What the Bleep Do We Know. And down the rabbit hole and a few other things, and I'm fascinated by the Science Channel, and they swear that if there's no one around to hear the tree fall, that it does not make a sound.
Well, I'm not going to subscribe to that.
That's okay. But, you know, you're really good at what you do because your place on this planet is just designed specifically for you, and your point of view is so necessary that without it, the whole world would mourn.
Oh, that's so sweet.
It's true.
It's so
and the same for Vanda, for myself, for every person listening. It's true.
That makes me want to write more, my book even more.
Well, good.
Yeah.
I think you should because we need to have whatever it is you have to say.
Thank you.
And all of us, you know, whatever's in your hero's heart, anyone listening, tell somebody, for God's sake. Tell somebody. Ask for support. Don't think that your ideas are small. Don't believe and don't buy into the notion that you don't matter because you do. One person absolutely can ignite the consciousness of the planet. And if each one of us, and I say this every week and I mean it so passionately, if each one of us would for 1 hour of our lifetime intend that it be us that ignite the consciousness of the planet, it would be a different world in 15 minutes. And that's if each one of us would just concentrate and intend that for 1 hour of our lifetime. That's it. 1 hour. Done.
My thought was I always wanted everybody to invent their own religion. You know,
yeah.
Everybody, because everybody has their own belief system, and it's so foolish to buy.
You know what I call belief system? BS.
Yeah. Well, we're agreeing with each other here, and I really believe that everybody is an absolute gem. You know, everybody has their own music. Everybody has their own poetry.
Exactly what I just said. It's like your signature, your fingerprint, are your very own,
right.
And we need it. And it's all part of the greater experience, and it definitely would be missed if we didn't have it. So I agree with what you're saying as well. And for each person, whatever their belief system is, even the atheist, because I was born an indigo, spiritually wide awake to an atheist family, if you could imagine that. Talk about learning full self-expression in the face of no agreement. That was a huge life lesson for me. And I believe that learning to do that is what courage is. And to learn to speak your heart, speak your truth, no matter who's going to disagree with it. And we are known by, actually, we are the sum total of the five people we spend the most time with. So look at who you spend the most time with, those five people, and then get a good idea of how much you're made up of that.
Uh-huh.
Wow, that's brilliant, Katie. And you know what? Someone once said to me, I went to some wealth seminar, and they said, your income is the sum total of the five people around you averaged. Ooh, now that'll give somebody a stake in the matter.
Yeah, that's another way to look at it. That's mind candy. So I want to ask each of you, we're coming up on the end of the hour. We got like maybe 75 seconds left. I want to ask you each one if you have something in your heart you'd like to leave the listeners with before we sign off this week.
Go, Vanda.
Take half of it, Vanda.
Okay. Well, you know, I don't really have a message in my show because I don't want anyone to have to... I don't want anyone to have to believe anything. Like you say, BS. I actually sell T-shirts at my show that say, why do we need beliefs? Can't we just show up?
Yeah.
You know, if I look around at the world, I think, you know, beliefs are what get us into trouble, really.
Mm-hmm.
No, and we're so... I am the queen of self-righteousness. I know this about myself. It's taken me a long time to hold up that mirror and see it,
mm-hmm.
but I am naturally really self-righteous. It's like my thing this lifetime to manage, you know?
Mm-hmm.
And so if I was to say anything to anyone out there who's in your listenership who's disempowered, in a space of being disempowered, that there's... The places I've been most disempowered in my life, when I keep coming back to like a nothingness, you know, like a nothingness, an empty and meaningless reality.
Mm-hmm.
When I say that, I don't mean bad, meaningless. I mean just seriously without meaning, like everything simply is.
A blank canvas.
You know, and how I'm freed up is there's not in my reality there's like nothing,
mm-hmm.
and there's what I generate, like putting that smile on my face that David talked about.
That's the picture you paint every day on your blank canvas.
Yeah. So there's nothing and there's what I generate, and my journey is getting masterful at developing the muscle of generating, of being the way I want to be, because like you said before, and Epictetus said it, that it's not what happens to us that disturbs us, it's our thought about it. And we reign in our domain, our inner domain, right? We get to say how we're going to be. That's one thing we really do have a say in, you know. And
yes.
And considering the ultimate truth that I, in my yoga class, that I like to leave people with is all is well. You know, it looks like there's a lot of things that are wrong, but if you can consider nothing's wrong.
Yeah, there's nothing wrong.
That all is well.
Yes, it is.
And then you get to create anything. Okay, I don't give David.
Okay, David, you have some. We got like 20 seconds.
Yeah, well, I find that the most important thing that the most important things that have ever happened to me is I found myself somewhere with a group with lots of people behaving as if nobody was, I would behave the way I want to be, as if nobody was in the room. I was totally free of embarrassment, shame, and I was just behaving as I would want to behave, as if no one was there. And invariably, it caused laughter.
Wonderful, wonderful. Thank you both for being my guests this week on Spiritual Hollywood. I'm so pleased to have had you on, and I want everyone to take a deep breath, stand up straight, and love yourselves, and I will see you next week. Thank you, Don Newsom, BBS Radio. Thank you, David Zasloff. Thank you, Vanda Mikulski, and we'll be seeing you both very, very soon. God bless.
Thank you.
Thank you, Katie.
Welcome.
Bye-bye.
Are we still on? Hello?